before Adolf Hitler, or like before the 20th century, maybe it was not needed to be defined in that way. But there came a need for it because of the ruling powers of the world. They turned everything upside down, and therefore there was a need for defining the natural laws and put them into an ideological context and present them to the people in that kind of way. And that was what the National Socialists in Germany did, and that is what we are doing today, adapting them to our context.
Hello and welcome to Leadership Perspective, the official podcast of the Nordic Resistance Movement. This is the 16th episode. My name is Fredrik Weidland, and with me I have the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement. All hail to Simon Lindberg, and greetings.
Yeah, hello, and thank you very much for that nice welcoming.
How are you doing?
I must be honest, I'm fine, of course, and so on, but I am a bit tired. I have not slept super good, and I am a bit off routine with things, but all in all, it's good, and it's nice to be here and recording again. It has been some time since we did it last time, so it's good to be back on air.
Yeah, good to be back. And the reason you are tired, we will come to this in a few seconds. And as you all know, we have had a long summer break, and we have announced that earlier. And in addition to that, also a week's delay. And I do not intend to apologize for this, because the delay has very good reasons. There is an article now on NordicResistanceMovement.org and Nordisk Radio as well, where Simon Lindberg explains that the delay is due to the fact that he has brought the biological struggle forward by becoming a father once again. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You explained the birth in the article, but I thought you could take this here as well. How did it go, and how does it feel?
Yeah, the birth itself actually was kind of dramatic. I will not go into details, but it was a bit dramatic for a while, but it turned out perfect in the end. And everything is fine with the mother and the baby boy and with me and with everyone for now. So now it's all just good. And it feels fantastic, of course. I mean, I'm not in your league, Weidland, but this was my fourth child, so I've done this before, so to say. But still, it is, and I assume that you agree, that it is a unique experience every time. It is like, every time it is like you haven't done this before in some way, you know, even if you know some of the stuff, it's still a unique experience, and it still could be your first time in you know, it's very different from each other. It's kind of like that you forget how it was last time, so you relive it once again. At least I feel that way.
Yeah, of course you have the routines when you're parenting and stuff like that, but every birth is unique, as you said, and fantastic every time.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. But it's, of course, it's loads of responsibility. Of course, it is, as I said in the beginning, bad sleep and a bit off routine and so on. But at the same time, it is, of course, totally amazing. It is a miracle, truly a miracle. It's the meaning of life. So,
yeah. So, yes, you can read the article on NordicResistanceMovement.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just returned from the summer's big highlight, the Nordic Days 2021. You can read more about it on NordicResistanceMovement.org. You can check out the photos and the film. Yeah, check it out. It's great. And I gave a speech there, and you, Simon Lindberg, gave a pre-recorded speech because, unfortunately, you could not attend because of the birth.
Yes.
But I attended, and it was a fantastic event. We had the Nordic Man of the Year competition, speeches, market, good food, and the best of company. There were also many people in place, many, many children. And this year, the children also got to compete in their own competition, which was very popular. And I would like to highlight three things that I think were a little extra good this year. The market, where we exhibit all kinds of crafts, jewelry, homemade honey and everything, is only getting better and better. You will be impressed by the knowledge we have when it comes to this. Really professional stuff. There was a guy combining woodcraft and metacraft. He had very nice products. So, yeah, the market. Nordfront, second edition. It is perhaps most interesting for us in the Nordics, but now Nordfront is a much nicer site than the previous one. More functional, and it also contains a forum where we can discuss what has been published on Nordfront, but also other things that concerns national socialists and nationalists. And lastly, the media. I mean, look at our pictures. This is pure propaganda. Do you agree?
The pictures are extremely nice. Among the best pictures I've seen from our... of course, we have had demonstrations and so on where we have had fantastic pictures as well, but...
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Not always.
No, but they are very, very good, at least. And as you said there... We must link to article, the picture article, we must link in this episode, definitely, so people can check them out.
Yeah. So the photos, good movie too, and everything was published very quickly. And one should not underestimate the value of having good photographers, cameramen, and editors of photo and film. Whether it is an event like the Nordic Days or a large demonstration, it is very important. So if you listen and want to start a National Socialist organization or just have started, don't forget the media. It's very important. And we are quite good at it, actually. And better. So be sure to check the articles out, and also think about whether you want to attend next year. This is an annual holiday, and even though we have not set a date for 2022 yet, the Nordic Days has always been arranged in either August or September. We have had foreign guests every year, but perhaps not so many. There could be more. And the event is not centered around speeches and lectures, although, of course, they do take place, but it's more centered around the competition, children's activities, and various forms of culture. So you do not need to understand Swedish to attend. So, yeah, we will let you know when and how you could attend on NordicResistanceMovement.org. So that was my take on the Nordic Days.
Even though I had good reasons for not being there. And I have had fun in my way. I'm still a bit jealous, I must say. We started this Nordic Days tradition in 2013, and I have attended it every year until this year. So it feels a bit sad to have missed it out, but for sure I will be there next year.
I felt like this 1 year, 2016 perhaps, when I missed a demonstration. I've been to every demonstration, but at that moment I was in prison, so it is what was very difficult for me to attend. So
also quite a good reason, you could say.
Yeah. Like I said previously, you did have a speech pre-recorded for everyone to listen to. Could you explain a little bit about the speech?
Maybe not so, hopefully not so understandable by our international listeners, but here in Sweden there has been, I would say that the last couple of years or so, there has been an increasing acceptance of defeatism among the nationalist movement, not within the Nordic resistance movement, but in the wider nationalist movement in Sweden. There has been, you know, more and more defeatism that has been spread out in the open. Different spokespersons has, through podcasts and other forums, spread poison, you know, that there is no need to resist because it is too late anyway. And instead, we must prepare for having the best possible opportunity as losers instead of wasting energy on trying to win, and so on. And I talked about this, and I talked about that this kind of views always must be seen as hostility towards our cause. And that the only one that will gain from such rhetoric is the enemy of our people. And I also admitted that right now we maybe not are in our absolute best condition ever, but that doesn't matter because our struggle spurs over several years, it spurs over generations, and our struggle comes and goes in waves. All the way since 1945, we have seen uprisings and downfalls within the nationalist movement, but all the time, in the bigger perspective, we are getting closer to victory. Because the uprisings, they get bigger each time, and the downfalls, they get lesser. Which means that in the long run, we are getting closer to victory all the time, even though it may be true sometime that we were bigger and more successful a year ago than we are right now. So, no matter if things look perfect or not right now, right today, you still got to stay optimistic and you still got to keep fighting, because this loyalty and this fight, even when things are a little bit harder, that is what will give us victory in the end. So keep believing, keep fighting, and keep stay ensured that one day we will win. That is the short version of my speech, I would say. What was your speech about then? I have not heard it. I have read reviews on your speech, but I have not heard it in full.
I hope the reviews were good.
yeah, absolutely.
I think it was a quite similar speech, actually, because I also talked about the hardship for the national movement and our movement in the North the last 2 years because of the restrictions. The COVID-19 restrictions, because in Sweden as well as other countries, it has been more difficult to rent premises, advertise meetings, hold demonstration, etc. Because there are laws against meeting too many people in one place. So this has affected our movement for sure, but. For us, well, of course, it is a problem, but we have already begun to work more internally with other other activities and trying to do activism that are not public activism, also more spectacular activism. But sure, we have missed some major public events, and so I spoke about this hardship, and I spoke about how to overcome this, and you can see now that the restrictions are getting softer, and we know that next year is a election year, so I also spoke about we will rise the pressure, we will be more active next year. So yeah, and also I spoke about the good things that have happened. We have won 4 major legal victories against the system this year. We had the Gothenburg trial, we discussed it here before. We have won against the Swedish Academy, who believes that we do not have the right to quote classic works. We have been given the right to portray depictions of violence, just like all other media. That was a legal case we have after we published Brenton Tarrant's film on Nordfront. And we have won against the police authority, which believes that dissidents should not have the right to own weapons. Well, now they have in Sweden, and this is because of us. So I spoke about this, and I spoke about White Boy Summer regarding European Football Championship and the Olympics. Yeah, so that was what my speech was about. Some bad things and how we will overcome it, and some good things.
Mm. I'm not sure when we release this episode if it has been translated or not, or if it even will be translated, but in Swedish there is an article, a more kind of personal article about how one of the participants felt. In Swedish it is called Morale of the Struggle and Comradeship in something like that. I'm not really sure. And there he goes through both the speeches, very, very good, summarizes them and writes his thoughts about the speeches and so on. So, yeah, if you understand Swedish, I recommend that article if you want to hear more from our speeches. And but hopefully also it has been translated to NordicResistanceMovement.org, so you can read that article.
Yeah, I hope I explained it correct, because it's a little bit difficult actually to explain a speech of that sort. Mm. When you're switching, you at one point you speak about the bad things, and then you speak about the good things, and then you speak about how to overcome the bad things.
Yes, and it's also can be a bit hard if you don't understand the context, because someone may get the feeling that we are defeatist when we are actually trying to fight defeatism. But I mean, we must be honest. We must be able to say that we are not growing all the time. We are not just getting bigger, better, and stronger. But as said, in the long run, we are getting bigger, better, and stronger. But not for every day we are not getting bigger, better, and stronger. So every demonstration we do, for example, doesn't necessarily have to be better than the last demonstration we did. But over time, we will be better at giving demonstrations, and we will get more support at our demonstrations.
Yes, I think we'll leave the Nordic days and move on to the next topic. What has happened in the struggle since the last episode? And this is from the middle of June until now, in the middle of August. So, yeah, what has happened since the last episode regarding resistance movement?
Yeah, it has been a true Nazi boy summer. It has been more activities than usual over this period of time. So we were speaking the truth last episode. I know last episode we talked about that now we're going into summer and It's always funnier to be a National Socialist during summer, and this always happens more. And this have proven itself to be true, because we have been more active than usual. Around 300 activities has been carried out in the Nordic countries. Normally, I often report about 200 activities during a two-month period like this, but now it has been around 300 activities. A lot of wilderness activities, really many wilderness activities, some quite tough ones, actually. There was one, for example, where the activists had to walk several kilometers in burning heat and quite rough terrain without any water to drink at all. And of course, others much, much easier, where also kids have participated. And also somewhere between. I know that you talked last time about one of these where it was quite tough, but children, they participated anyway. So yeah, all the range from quite easy to quite tough. Another really nice thing during this period is somewhat connected to your speech on the Nordic Days, because that is that the restrictions for this terrifying COVID-19 has been lightened up a bit during the summer by our very, very nice government. That has led to more people out on the streets again. And with more people out on the streets, it has become more interesting to conduct activism on streets and squares again. So there has been more public leafletting among people, more public activities than we have seen for quite some time. And that has been really uplifting to see, really nice to see, since I really love the public activities. We joined in on the Indigenous People's Day. It was an initiative by the British organization Patriotic Alternative, where nationalists in white countries all around the world spread the message that white lives matter. And in the Nordic countries, we carried out banner drops, public leafletting, putting up posters, and in around somewhere between 30 to 40 different cities in the north. And here I also would like to give an extra shout out to the activists in Norway, because except for putting up posters and public banner activities, they also did an at least a little bit spectacular activities in two cities, where they were putting up memorials covered in red paint, and where they had put up roses all over the streets. And it was memorials for the faceless victims of multiculturalism. And this had actually also to do with, I guess it was like 20, 30 years ago now or something. There was an African orange teenager in Norway that was beaten to death. And he got a statue rosen over himself. So there is a statue over this African in Norway. But at the same time, every year, there are numerous victims of multiculturalism that never gets, you know, recognized, that never gets even written about in the paper. So this was kind of a little bit spectacular way of giving them some acknowledge the victims of multiculturalism as well.
Very creative.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was, as said several times before in these shows, it's nice to see when people try to think outside of the box and do different things than what we're used to. And then in Norway, they have also continued to work all summer against the pride indoctrination. And they have worked quite much on this in Norway. And by the way, not only in Norway, but all over the north, there are rumors being spread about hostile flags that has been stolen. So, yeah, maybe our activists have something to do with it, maybe not, who knows. But I heard that a lot of rainbow flags has been reported missing from public squares and streets and businesses and so on. And in Sweden, of course, nothing connected to Pride and rainbow flags at all, because that would be illegal. But in Sweden, there has been several campaigns against pedophiles. It has been carried out where the local inhabitants in different cities have been warned with posters, banners, and flyers that there lives convicted pedophiles in their neighborhoods. So, so they can keep their kids secure from these monsters. Yeah, not only kids, but also adult women are prey in these dark times. That is our society today. And Nordic women are especially exposed during the summer months. It's more rapes than ever during the summer months. And because of this, in Western Sweden, there was a bigger propaganda campaign with the theme Peace for Nordic Women, where several thousands of flyers and hundreds of posters were spread along the cities on the west coast. And also during this campaign, two square meetings with speeches were carried out. So very good from Nest 2 in Sweden there with that campaign.
Yeah, and a lot of banner actions also regarding this.
Yeah, and I guess you participated at least at one of the square meetings, I guess.
Yes, I did not speak, but I handed out the leaflets, and it was very good to be out on the streets again. And that was in the city of Lysekil. And the response was very good, very, very, very good. And this was a campaign that lasted for a week, all in all. And we have four new recruits from this area for 1 week's job.
That's very good. And of course, it's just this area, as I said. It's not in the whole country, but in this area for new recruits. That's great.
Yeah.
Mm. And square meetings, as I said, there has actually been quite many square meetings during the summer, because except for these two, we also had a short campaign with theme self-defense is a natural right, where we encouraged white people to refuse to be victims without fighting back. And also here we held square meetings in four different cities and public leafleting in two different cities on the same day. So six public activities on the same day. And that is very, very good. Very nice to see. I was extremely happy when we carried that one out. Then, of course, we have also put much time, resources, and effort into the Nordic Days. But since you already talked about them in the beginning, I won't say more about that than giving a shout out also to the organizing group for the Nordic Days, for a work well done.
Yeah, very good.
And then I would also like to report a little bit from Finland, actually. As most of you listeners know, we are banned in Finland, so there is no Nordic resistance movement allowed in Finland, but we keep contact with a couple of different groups that we support in Finland. And first, I would like to say that Sinimustaliike, the Black and Blue movement that we mentioned in last episode, they have continued their work to collect signatures to be able to register a party. And they have actually been on a tour all across the country during the summer to meet up with people in several different towns. So I know that they are a good way, but I don't think they're finished yet. So if you are a Finnish resident that have not signed this list yet, then please do so. And we put a link to this also in the article to this episode, just like we did in the last episode. And then there has also actually been created a new activist organization. And it seems really, really promising. We give it all the best of luck and all our moral support. And this organization is named the Pojan Vartio which means Guard of the North. And they have been quite active during the summer, actually. And they were also part of this White Lives Matter activism during the Indigenous People Day. So, yeah, welcome to the scene, Pohjanmaatti, and good luck. And we will keep on reporting if you do good stuff in leadership perspective as well, so the world will know about you. And then the last thing I want to mention that is really nice, actually, is that our activists in Sweden got their rifles back during summer. During several years, the system have taken away legal hunting rifles and sport pistols from our members and sympathizers as part of the ongoing repression against us. But due to an important victory in court, where it was declared a fault for the system to operate like this, they were not allowed to operate like this. They were not allowed to use this kind of repression against us. So now several members and activists have actually gotten their guns back. And that is, of course, very good news for them. And yeah, complete with the other things you mentioned, your speech was about another feather in our organizational hat, I would say.
Yeah, I mentioned that in one of the four massive legal victories.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yes, yes.
So, and that is very important because the system here has really frightened the hunters. We actually know about several hunters that want to become members or wanted to become members and in the Nordic Resistance Movement, but they didn't join our movement because of the threat of losing their rifles and the right to hunt. And well, you can discuss if the hunting is more worth than the saving their people. Well, yes, but for many of the hunters, that is it is their life doing it, their most important activity. So. So hopefully that will change now, because I would say the majority of the hunters actually like us.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, I guess that was... Yeah, I can mention also on the report, just because it's many members have actually, and some sympathizer have actually tried to convince me for quite some time that I should create a Telegram channel and Telegram account. So now I finally did so. So you can follow my Telegram channel. It is just Simon Lindberg in one word. No no strange underlines or dots or anything like that. Just Simon Lindberg in one. Yeah, follow me there if you want. But with that being said, I think I am... happy with the report. It has been a really good Nazi boy summer, I must say.
Yeah, yes, good term. Yes, we're moving on to the ideological tactical question. And when we describe National Socialism in various contexts, we always refer to it as a world view rather than a type of politics or ideology. And I thought that in this episode, we will find out what worldview really means and thus also get into the more spiritual aspects of religion and National Socialism. And we start from the beginning. What do we mean by National Socialism being a worldview?
National Socialism is a worldview since it has actually the answer to all life's questions, both big and small ones. I would say that every political, philosophical, or social question, or even every question of morale, could be answered with National Socialism on an individual level, on a regional, national, and on a global scale. And the values within National Socialism is also eternal and unchangeable. you cannot liberalize the core values of National Socialism, because then it is not National Socialism anymore. And with this being said, of course you can, should, and perhaps must adapt National Socialism according to the time being and your people's culture. Here, National Socialism actually gives room for some pragmatism, but the fundamental values, the spirit of National Socialism, remains the same. So the Nordic Resistance Movement and our policies is not a blueprint copy of the National Socialists from the 30s in Germany, because the Nordic countries in the 21st century and in peacetime is not the same context as Germany in the 20th century, right after a world war. We do not act exactly in the same way and do not think exactly the same in every question in detail. However, the core values are and will always be the same, since National Socialism isn't some populism, but a complete world view. National Socialism is also, except for just politics, it's also, except for ideology, it's also spiritual beliefs, it's also moral values. It is the laws of nature adopted to the modern man. And the highest and most important natural law there are out there is the instinct to survive. And so also, National Socialism's most important ideological question is the survival of our people.
Mm-hmm. So you basically say that National Socialism is not directly, it doesn't have to be connected to the Third Reich. And the reason for us being National Socialists is not that we are LARPers in any way, but that we can see these core beliefs in National Socialism, the things that are eternal, and create our own National Socialism in our modern time.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say that National Socialism has been there way much longer than Adolf Hitler, and way much longer than it has been declared as National Socialism, because the follow of this natural laws and the adaptation to them to man, it has been there already from the beginning. However, the more anti-natural society gets in time, the more important it gets to define it in ideology and in politics as well. So maybe for 1,000 years ago, there was no need to call it National Socialism, because then it was only natural laws that people lived by. But today there is a need to give it a name and to clarify the worldview that is National Socialism. I hope I get myself clear.
Yeah. The natural laws are eternal. And Adolf Hitler defined the worldview and created the belief systems as well, and made it victorious.
Yeah, and it was, as I said, it was maybe a belief system that before Adolf Hitler, or like before the 20th century, maybe it was not needed to be defined in that way. But yeah. There came a need for it because of the ruling powers of the world. They turned everything upside down, and therefore there was a need for defining the natural laws and put them into an ideological context and present them to the people in that kind of way. And that was what the National Socialists in Germany did, and that is what we are doing today, adopting them to our context.
Yes, but just to give the listener an even better understanding, what are other worldviews, and how do you think National Socialism is more natural than these?
It is up for discussion, I guess, what other worldviews there are out there. I guess you have to count the world religions. They also claim to have the answers to all questions in life. And I guess you can say that Christianity or Islam or and so on, that those are world views. And you can perhaps also count capitalism and communism. However, at the same time, these two are in many ways the mirror of each other. Capitalism and communism thrive together, and they are not at all each other's opposites as they would like to portray themselves. So therefore, maybe you can say that capitalism and communism combined is a worldview, because then you get liberal democracy. You get the system we live under today. And I think that is better to mention this combination of communism and capitalism as being a worldview than to recognize both of them as their own worldviews, because there are too many similarities between them. I mean, liberal democracy, it is a capitalistic economical system with a Marxist belief system, you could say. This about being natural, then. The world religions, they are of course not very natural, since they are based on written stories. Somewhere in time, someone wrote them down, and then they're based upon what was written down. And I guess, yeah, they are up for much interpretation, these stories. It's not just that, like, that you can follow exactly what it says. You have to interpret them as you want and so on. But they are not always so natural. They can be quite supernatural and so on as well. However, how supernatural they might be, I would definitely say that all the religions, they are more natural than today's system, the liberal democracy is. Because the liberal democracy is, as I said earlier, an anti-natural worldview. Every natural value there is should be torn apart and turned upside down by this worldview. But with National Socialism, when you feel unsure of any question, you can look at how it works in nature, and then you can go with that, and you will not be far away from National Socialism. You will be very close to how it has been interpreted by other National Socialists. But with religions, you look into your Holy Scriptures, and with liberal democracy, you look into how you can profit the most from it without anyone feeling unequal. And yeah, that's not very natural at all.
No. Yeah, and like you said, liberal democracy always saluting the unnatural tendencies. And, well, for example, there is no, in the nature, there is no favorizing like LGBT tendencies.
No.
Or pride, and but you should procreate. You should have children.
Mm, exactly. And it's quite interesting. I had a small discussion with my woman earlier today, since we just got this child. And it's interesting because it is definitely upside down today. You have this feminism that have led to that women today, they often, if they want children at all, because some of them don't even want children, but if they want children, they will wait very, very late until they get children. And then when they get children, they still want to have their own spare time. They still have to prioritize themselves quite high compared to their children. But I mean, nature, it's the opposite. It's definitely the opposite, because everything in the woman's body, when they are breastfeeding, when they are pregnant, and so on, it is always making sure that the baby will survive rather than the mother. So a detail I read is omega-3, because a baby needs omega-3. So when you're breastfeeding and do not get enough omega-3 in your body, then the baby will take omega-3 from the mother's brain. So the mother will get a shortage of omega-3, which will make them more stupid, actually.
their brain size will get smaller because the baby gets the omega-3 instead of them. And this was a long off-topic shot, but what I'm saying is that nature here prioritized the baby over the mother. The baby is the most important thing in the world. It's more important than the mother. So it takes the omega-3 from the mother. But with feminism, it's the other way around. So in every aspect, they are turning upside down of what's natural.
Yes, for sure. A nice discussion there. A little bit off topic, but nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but in previous episodes, we have talked a lot about the political and ideological parts of National Socialism. But do you want to develop a little more what you mean are the spiritual parts?
Yeah, it could be quite much, of course. But as we as said, we can take whatever question that you can find answer to in the religions. What is the purpose with life? That is definitely a spiritual, a philosophical question. And the purpose with life, according to nature, according to National Socialism, is to survive and to keep growing as both individual and as a whole, to breed new generations and to do whatever you can to give these generations as good conditions as possible. And therefore, also you as an individual must grow and do your part for the whole. And what happens after you die? Either you live on forever through the blood of your descendants and through your great deeds in life, or you vanish and will be forgotten. You will have turned out to be just a waste of resources. And in order to survive and thrive for thousands of years, you must do your best to keep the natural balance. You must try to give back as much as you take. Otherwise, we believe, and we have also seen this being the case several times, on occasion, that nature will strike back, because nature will try to maintain some kind of balance. And when humans try to destroy that, tend to destroy that balance too much, nature will fight back. And so new diseases will be created, there will be flooding and earthquakes and whatever. And this is also kind of a spiritual belief, you can say, that nature tends to strive for balance, so people must also try to strive for that balance in order to live in peace and harmony. But then National Socialism is also do also recognize moral values, and that you have a moral compass with you from the day you are born. And these moral values, they are in line with our racial traits. They are in line with our instincts since the beginning of time, and they are in line with the natural laws. I believe that most people of our race will be born with the understanding that it is wrong to hurt or kill someone just for the thrill of it. At the same time, as you understand that it could be necessary to hurt or kill someone if your survival is severely threatened, then it doesn't need to be a bad thing. And you are a social being that needs to organize with your kin to survive, to thrive. And therefore, your moral compass also is aligned with the values of Volkgemeinschaft. If you treat other people good, they will also treat you good back. You stand up for and help also the weak, but never by adjusting to them and become weak yourself. But on the opposite, you stand up as strong as you can, and therefore you also are in a better position to stand up for the weak. And every moral dilemma is to be solved within us and within the laws of nature, within National Socialism.
As some of you know, listening to our recent episodes, the Nordic Resistance Movement advocates religious freedom. But if National Socialism contains these spiritual parts as well, then is another religion needed? And could another religious belief even be compatible with National Socialism?
Yeah, personally, I do not feel the need for any other religion or any other spiritual belief than the ones being within National Socialism. I believe that the faith in nature and your blood is enough, and that it fulfills your spiritual needs. But with that being said, I do not see anything wrong with if you want to combine these beliefs with some other more recognized religion, as long as you, first of all, is National Socialist, and secondly, are Christian or Hindu or pagan or whatever you may believe in. Because I guess maybe this is another aspect of spirituality that I didn't answer before, but I mean, I can stand on a mountaintop together with a Christian guy, and as a National Socialist, I completely adore the beauty in nature. That is spiritual to me. I see the nature as a spiritual being. I get uplifted by seeing this beautiful nature. I feel a part of it. I believe in nature itself. I believe in science and in the beauty of it. And this Christian National Socialist guy that I got at the side of me, he can see the same things, but he can believe that it was God that created it and not science. That wouldn't be a problem as long as he adore nature the same way as I do, since he's a National Socialist as well. We both believe that you can live forever if you do good in life. I believe that you do it through your deeds and through your blood, and the Christian guy believes that you live on forever through paradise in heaven and so on. I recognize my God as nature itself, but I do not have any problems with if you want to recognize the same force as God, Odin or Brahma or whatever it may be. However, if you think that the moral codex in the Bible, for example, is more important than the one in nature and in National Socialism, then of course it would not be possible to combine them, because then it is two different competitive world views. So as long as you adapt your religion accordingly with National Socialism, it wouldn't be any problems at all. But it is, of course, not possible to follow two different world views.
But is there really a need for spirituality in a modern society like the one we live in today?
I definitely believe there is a need for spirituality, and I believe that one of the big issues of the modern world's many problems is the lack of spirituality, the lack of a higher belief. Again, within the liberal democracy, you deny all natural values. You only worship yourself. You're only living for the day, and you're not caring at all about anyone else or about tomorrow. However, if everyone just take what they want without thinking about anyone or anything else, there of course will be no harmony. And of course there will be no future for our coming generations. To be able to take care of nature also in the longer context, you need to believe in something bigger than yourself. Because if you only believe in yourself, why should you care about nature? You need to believe in something bigger. And I also believe that people get confused when they do not believe in something. They lose track of who they are, why they are. They get depressed, and they don't see any meaning with life itself. So they start to flee from the reality instead of embracing it. So the lack of spirituality and higher beliefs in today's society, I believe that is the reason for people abusing narcotics or video games or pornography or whatever it may be. They do not know even why they exist, and so they are trying to run away from existence itself instead of standing up and fight for it.
Yeah, and then we also have the pills for against when you have depression. And I don't know the exact statistics here in Sweden, but I think it's, is it 30-40% of the people have taken these pills? Something like that?
It's very many at least, yes.
Yeah, very, very, very many. Don't take my word on 30-40%, but it is very many of the population. And I don't know what it is called in English, but here it is called lyckopiller, translated to happy pills, joy pills. So you need these pills to feel joy about life, which is it's insane. And it is proof that our society is actually insane. So you need the drugs to feel joy.
Yeah. Something has gone totally wrong. So people need to find themselves again, and there is the need for the higher beliefs.
Yeah, and about that. Many people who were not brought up religiously, but instead find religion in adulthood, they do so in connection with a life crisis, perhaps, or a major life change. For example, after the death of a loved one, they seek comfort in the religion, or when they are to free themselves from an addiction to alcohol or drugs, they seek strength in the faith. Could National Socialism work in the same way for these seeking people who need support in life, the seekers?
Absolutely. I mean, during the years, I have heard and I have seen many examples of how people actually have grown to become better versions of themselves because of embracing National Socialism. People that have been at a bad place in life, you can say, but that have risen above that, that have started working out, stopped using drugs, stopped using pornography. They maybe thought that they don't want any kids, but then they have changed their mind. They've got kids and got good parents and, you know, whatever it may be. They have only been inside, not meeting people, not being out in nature, but they have started being social beings again, and so on. And all of this because of embracing the struggle and embracing National Socialism. So here the worldview have helped them to rise and to feel better about themselves. And I definitely believe that if they teached National Socialism to white prisoners in the prisons, or to white patients at in treatment homes or at psychologists or so on, I am 100% sure that there would have been way less relapses than there are today. 100% sure. Because then these people, they would have gotten these higher values, something else to think about than just themselves, something bigger to live for, some more value with their lives. And I can also say that I have myself used National Socialism or the National Socialist ways to comfort people when they have been sad because of someone that they love's deaths, because I have teach them the natural way of looking at life and death. Because today we are extremely scared of death when it's actually something very, very natural and a part of life. And with National Socialism, you get something to live for, you get something to die for, your race and nature itself. And as a practicing National Socialism, your life and death also will mean something. You will live and you will die in freedom.
Yeah, and you will die and you will live on in your sons and daughters, and they will, and you, and perhaps in your name as well, if you've done good things.
Yes, yes. And if you, in these times, like if you have given your life to National Socialism, then you will definitely be remembered.
Yeah. Yes, but in view of this, do you think that the spiritual aspects are purely more important than the political ones in order for us to reach out?
Today we live in an extremely material and egocentric world where spirituality is long forgotten. And I know this is not the case all over the world, but at least in the Nordic countries, spirituality is dead. The Nordic peoples are very, very secular today. They do not believe in any religion. They are atheists or agnostics, but mostly atheists, I think. And to attract people in this society with spirituality, I believe it's probably quite hard in many cases. Because if they don't understand why they need spirituality at all, they would definitely not understand why they need our spirituality. But then again, I do believe that all people have a natural longing for spirituality. So it is a hard question. I do not believe like that you can go out there and preach the spiritual values. But I do think that by acknowledging them, by talking about the change people have made through National Socialism and so on, it could reach out to more people that way. Maybe I'm a bit unclear again, but it is a very, very hard question. I do believe, however, that different people get attracted by different things, and therefore we should never go in just one way. I think it's important that we try to reach out in all ways we can, and that we try to find a good balance in different ways to reach out. There are definitely some people we can reach by a more spiritual approach, but there are also other people where we need to have a 100% political approach, and there are other people where we need to have an ideological approach, and other people where ideology and politics and spirituality is not important at all. It's all about social factors, and so on. However, as believers of nature, we do also understand that the big masses, they follow strength and strength and strength, nothing else but strength. They do not care about anything else than strength. And therefore, they won't join us until we are the strong force. And they will join us when we are the strong force. And this is no matter if we have a spiritual approach or not.
Yeah, and we can become that strong force by reaching out to the minority of the people. It could be the 1% or the 5% that are willing to fight but need the reasons to do it. They need to have this spirituality, need to understand it and be affected of it, to want to fight.
Mm.
So the minority becomes strong, and then the masses will follow.
Exactly. And there you have a very important point that I didn't think about when I answered the question, but you are very on to something. And that is that I was thinking more about the approach, like if we should be spiritual in our propaganda and so on. And there I'm not so sure in our direct propaganda. But I definitely think it's very important that we have a living spirituality within the organization, and that we have a living culture within the organization. So even though a person maybe not joins us because of this spirituality, he maybe joins us because he understands the immigration question or something else. But when he has joined us, we will form him into a fanatic, a very strong person that will lead the masses because of that we are embracing this spirituality and have this culture alive within our struggle.
Yeah, for sure. So, last question. How are we to get our people to find National Socialism instead of some other worldview?
Yeah, in many ways it's actually easier, since it is the natural way. I talked about this before, that it is the natural laws, and I know it's not that uncommon among our activists that they say things like, I have always been a National Socialist, I've just not understood it before I got in contact with National Socialism. And that is, of course, because it is the natural way. This is what we have inside of us. However, since the ruling powers of today, they rules by the complete opposite to natural views, it is still not as easy as it should be. It is still definitely a struggle to make people find this natural view they have inside themselves. And the only way to win a struggle is by facing it. It is to get into it. As long as you stand aside or flee, you cannot win, of course. So get out there and preach, and also live like you preach. Join and support your local National Socialist organization and make the Nazi boy summer into a Nazi boy lifetime.
Very good. With that word, we end this episode. And yes, you can send questions and suggestions and topics for future episodes of Lead the Perspective to info@nordicresistancemovement.org. We also appreciate both negative and positive feedback. Please spread this episode on social medias and help the Nordic Resistance Movement in any way you can. And you can read more on our webpage, nordicresistancemovement.org. Next episode will be out the 13th of October. See you then. Bye.
Unless there drops down some more kids somewhere.
Not for my part.
No, not here either until then, I promise. So yes. See you 13th of October.
Bye.
Bye.